Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins 11 lines from the top. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where we feature the Nosei topic heading, one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, the Gemara that appears on your screen. You will notice under our Nosei heading, we have written Birur Daito Shel Rav Gamliel B'Mishnah. We are going to analyze, clarify the opinion of Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah. De Kotoni, de Kriyashma de Arvis, he said in the Mishnah that Kriyashma of Arvis is Kol Halailo. Haim hachachomim de omru ad chatzos maskimim ito? Is it so that the chachomim in the Mishnah that said only until midnight, do they in principle agree with Rav Gamliel? And simply said, Varak osus yog, they simply added a precautionary measure and said that the time ends earlier so as not to come to the actual deadline. Oy de chatzos shel harabonon hu meikur hadin, or is the midnight of the rabbonon a basic position of theirs and not just some type of fence or distancing precautionary measure? Now we turn to the Gemara. Maise Shibo Bonov mi Beis HaMishteh. The Mishnah told us of an incident where Rav Gamliel's sons had come back from a wedding rather late at night. Omru lo lo karinu es Shema. They told their father that they had not as yet recited the Shema. And it's mashma that they wanted to know the opinion of their own father on this matter. So with that in mind, the Gemara asks, V'ad hashtalo shmiel lehu hadar Rav Gamliel? Could it be that up till now they never heard their own father's opinion? Very unlikely. So the question is, if they knew their father's opinion, what were they what did they have in mind when they addressed their father and told him that they had not as yet recited Shema? The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'amri lei. Thusly, they said to him, Rabbonon de pligi, Rabbonon pligi iluvoch. Is it so that the Rabbonon who said til chatzos argue with you in the interpretation of b'shachvecha, v'yochid v'rabim halochi k'rabim, and in such a case, if you have a controversy between an individual opinion versus a majority opinion, you follow the majority, and therefore they would not be able to say Shema, oy dilma, or possibly the other side of the possibility is Rabbonon kavoseich svira lehu. The Rabbonon hold like you in principle that b'shachvecha means the entire time people are sleeping, and therefore they could still say Kriya Shema. V'hai dukamri ad chatzos, and that which the Rabbonon said till midnight, kedei laharchik odo mino avera. It's a preemptive, precautionary measure so as to distance people from sin. But if midnight has passed and they still haven't said Kriya Shema, all opinions would agree that, all opinions, namely the Rabbonon in addition to Rav Gamliel, would agree that you could still say it. So that was their question. Just to review, they asked of their father, is their father's opinion an individual opinion and the Rabbonon in principle disagree? Or is their father's opinion, Rabbi Gamliel, something that the Rabbonin subscribed to in principle, and that which the Rabbonin said until Chatzos was just a precautionary measure that they took in their ruling. So now he answers, Rabbi Gamliel answers, Omar Lehu, Rabbonin Kavosi Svira Lehu, the Rabbonin hold like me in principle, V'chayove Matem, and you are therefore obligated to say the Kriya Shema. V'hai dekoamri ad chatzos, and that which the Rabbonin said only until chatzos, kidei laharchik odom min avera, only a precautionary measure so as to motivate people, to motivate them to say the Kriya Shema early and not wait till the last moment. V'loi zu bilvad omru elo v'chulei. In the Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Gamliel reporting to his sons not only this is until Chatzos, but everything whose mitzvah, is at night. Let us go over that point. Not only is Kriya Shema something that can be done all night, but everything else that's a nighttime mitzvah, you have all night to do it. The Gemara here is asking a question based on a fine reading of the Mishnah, a fine possible misinterpretation of the Mishnah. When Rabbi Gamliel addressed his sons, he said to them, "V'lo zu bilvad omru, elo kol ma she'omru chachomim ad chatzos mitzvot sanat shelam u'dashachar." Well, by saying that, it gives the impression that Rabbi Gamliel subscribes to the Chatzos idea. So the Gemara asks, "V'Rabbi Gamliel, mi ko'omar ad Chatzos? Did Rabbi Gamliel himself ever say anything about till midnight? Dekotoni, that he therefore had to say in the Mishnah, 'V'loi zu bilvad,' and not only this, not only Kriya Shema?" By his saying in the Mishnah to his sons that not only this Kriya Shema is something that you will have all night, it sounds like that the basic mitzvah of Kriya Shema is until Chatzos, or there is a precautionary measure of Chatzos, but you have all night, and not only with regard to Kriya Shema, but to other things as well. The problem is that Rabbi Gamliel himself never said anything about Chatzos. So the Gemara clarifies, "Hochi ko'omar lu Rabbi Gamliel lebonei." Thusly, Rabban Gamliel was saying to his sons, "Afilu lerabbonon deko'amri ad Chatzos." Even according to the Rabbonon who hold from the idea of till Chatzos as a precautionary measure, mitzvoso ad shelum rashachar, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema can be performed until dawn. V'hai deko amri, that which the Rabbonin said ad chatzos, not that I say it, but that which the Rabbonin said until chatzos, kidei laharchik odom in ha'avera, so as to distance a person from violating the non-saying of Kriya Shema by virtue of passage of time, the dawn passing. Hekter chalovim ve'evorim mitzvosan ad shi'al amud hashachar. The topic heading that we have assigned to this section of Gemara on the outside margins, you see it says no say. We have written there machlokes tanoim. We'll see a tanaic controversy bizman achilas korban pesach, the allotted time available for the consumption of the korban pesach. The Rabbi Akiva kol halayla. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have all night, the night of the 15th of Nisan, and the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ad chatzos, only till midnight. So our Mishnah mentioned that the burning of limbs left over from a given day's sacrifice is something that takes place until dawn. V'ilu achilas psochim lo kotoni. Our Mishnah does not mention the eating of the Korban Pesach is something that could take place all night. Ve'romini, we raise a contradiction from another Tanaic source. Kriya Shema Arvis, the evening Kriya Shema, the Halel Belele Psachim, and the Halel that's recited Pesach night, the Achilas Pesach, and the eating of the Korban Pesach, Mitzvoson Ad Shielum HaShachar. These are things that do take place until dawn. So the problem is our Mishnah would, by virtue of Korban Pesach's absence, would indicate that Korban Pesach is not eaten all night. Here we see that it is. Omer of Yosef lo kashya. There is no contradiction. There is a machlokes tanoim. Ha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha Rabbi Akiva. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source which features these two Tanaic opinions. So that in the meantime, Rabbi Yosef says that our Mishnah, which would indicate that you don't have all night, that will be in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanaic source that we just read with the dashed underlining in it, where Achilas Pesach is highlighted and it says Ad Shel Moed HaShachar, that will be according to Rabbi Akiva. Desanya. Now we have a Tanaic source that dwells on the issue of the eating of the Korban Pesach. V'ochlu es habosor ba'laylo hazeh. The meat of the Korban Pesach shall be eaten that night. We're talking about the 15th of Nisan at night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ne'emar kan b'laylo hazeh, v'ne'emar lahalon, in the context of Makas Bechoros, it says, V'ovarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'laylo hazeh. So you see the word hazeh has been dashed underlined. Ma lahalon ad chatzos, just like by Makas Bechoros, it's something that took place at midnight. Af kan ad chatzos. So too, with regard to the Korban Pesach, you have till midnight to eat it. Omar le Rabbi Akiva v'lo kvar nemar b'chipazon. Does it not say in the pasuk, as far as the eating of the Korban Pesach, it shall be done b'chipazon, literally meaning in haste? However, there is more to this than we are saying. If we just look at the inside margin, you'll see the whole pasuk where b'chipazon is found. It said v'kocha tochlu oso masnechem chagurim nalechem baraglechem. Makelchem b'yedchem v'achaltem musa b'chipazon Pesach hu l'Hashem. The pasuk describes the people eating it in Pesach of Mitzrayim with their shoes on and their walking sticks in their hands, and they shall eat it b'chipazon. The Tanaic source goes on ad shas chipazon, that they have time to eat the Pesach until the time of chipazon, which is the time of, literally the time of haste, and we will discover it's the time that the Jews left Mitzrayim. That's until Amud HaShachar, they had time to eat the Pesach. Im kein ma tamo lomar balayla. So what is the significance of the word balayla? According to Rabbi Akiva, the time frame for eating the Korban Pesach is defined by this pasuk, where it says Bechi Pazon, which is pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Yud Beis. So if that be the case, in Kemata Malomar Balayla, what about the pasuk Shmos Perek Yud Beis pasuk Ches, which opened this source where it said Ochlu Es Habosar Balaylo Hazeh? What does Rabbi Akiva do with that? Answer, Yochol Yehei Nechal Kikotshim Bayom. Could it be that the Korban Pesach shall be eaten during the daylight hours when it is slaughtered, as is the case of other sacrifices, that they are able to be eaten as soon as they've been slaughtered and had their blood sprinkled, which is by day? Talmud Lomar Balaylo. Balaylo hu ne'echal v'lo bayom. The word Balaylo is by the Korban Pesach is coming to exclude all other practices with regard to the Korban Pesach, that it is the Korban Pesach is eaten only starting with the night, and not like other sacrifices whose eating time starts on the day that they are slaughtered. Bishlamo l'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah di'is le'gizera shafa. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, things work out. He had a gizera shafa. He had this word comparison as a tradition from his rabbonon. Itzrich lemichtav le hazeh. The word hazeh is of significance. It's based on that word that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes to his conclusion that the eating of the Korban Pesach is until midnight. El Rabbi Kiva, Hai Hazeh Mai Ovid Lei, what benefit does Rabbi Kiva gain from the word Hazeh? Answer, Limute Lailo Achir Hu Da'asa. Hazeh is coming to exclude the possibility of eating the Korban Pesach on an additional night. In other words, if the starting of the Korban Pesach eating is on the night ushering the 15th of Nisan, so I would have thought that you could continue eating it on the night following the 15th of Nisan. That's what Hazeh comes to. It comes to exclude that Lailo Acher. Would you have thought otherwise? Salkodai Techamina, without this Gzeres HaKosuv, I would have thought Hoyolu Pesach Kodshim Kalim, since a Korban Pesach is an example of Kodshim Kalim, of light level sanctity sacrifices. Ushlomim equals Kodshim Kalim. Ushlomim is an example of a Kodshim Kalim. Mashlomim Nechom Nishneomim V'layla Echad, just like a Korban Shlomim, you have 2 days and the intervening night to eat it. Af Pesach, I would have thought that I could parallel the Pesach to the Korban Shlomim and say Nechal Shtei Leilos B'mokom Shnei Yomim, that you have 2 nights to eat the Korban Pesach instead of the 2 days that we would ordinarily have with a Korban of Kodshim Kalim status otherwise. V'yehei Nechal L'shnei Leilos V'yom Echad, and the result of that would be, the result of suggesting that the Korban Pesach, you'll have 2 nights to eat it, you would then have 2 nights and the intervening day. Komash Malon Balailo Hazeh. From this, we learn that that the second night is excluded. Balailo Hazeh Hu Nechal, that's the night of the 15th, it is eaten. The Eino Nechal Balailo Acher, but it's not eaten on any other night. V'Rabbelozer Ben Azariah. From Rabbelozer Ben Azariah, from where does he learn, he who used the Hazeh for his Gzera Shava to tell us that Zman Pesach is until Chatzos, where does he learn this point that you don't have any additional time for eating the Korban Pesach, namely that it is not to be compared to a Korban Shlomim? So the Gemara says, Miloi Sosiru Ad Boiker Nafka. He learns that point from the Pesach, says, don't leave it over till the morning. Rabbi Kiva, E Mehosam, had that been our Moker, Have Amina, my Boker Sheni. I would have thought that's a reference to Boker Sheni would be Tes Zion Nisan. So Rabbi Akiva, in looking at Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah's posuk of Lo Sosiru Ad Boker, Rabbi Akiva says that wouldn't have excluded a second night, because I would have thought that the Torah is prohibiting it to be left till Boker Sheni, which would mean till the morning of the 16th of Nisan. But I still would have been able to eat it the night of the 15th and the night leading into the 16th. Therefore, I need the pasuk, says Rabbi Akiva, of Balailo Hazeh, meaning that night it's eaten and not eaten on a second night. And as far as Lo Sosur Ad Boker, that wouldn't have communicated the same idea. Rabbi Elozer, Omar Loch, Rabbi Elozer, who does see Lo Sosiru Ad Boker as sufficient for excluding a second night, very simply because Kol Boker, Boker Rishon Hu, the immediate next morning, and not the morning of the 16th. The immediate next morning is the morning of the 15th. So whenever the Torah says Boker, it means the first morning. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section of Gemara. and the bracket length indicator shows you how long these last. That's found to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. After which, you will see Rabbi Abba picks up the Gemara. The reason for these brackets is to simply isolate what the Gemara does here and says that there's a parallel machlokes tanoim to that which we just saw between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Here you have a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua along the same lines. That having been said, let us now learn the bracketed section. Vahani Tanoi, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, Kehani Tanoi, like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in this source, Desanya. Shom Tizbach Es HaPesach, Bo Erev, Kevo HaShemesh, Moed Tzeischa, Mi Mitzrayim. We will see shortly that there is a reference to three different points in time in this Pasuk. The Pasuk says that you will slaughter and offer the Korban Pesach Bo'erev, which would indicate on the 14th of Nisan after noon, and Kevo HaShemesh will indicate nighttime, and Moed Seischa Mitzrayim, that's the next morning. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bo'erev Atozoveach, everyone will agree with that, that Bo'erev means on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, the Korban Pesach is slaughtered and offered. Uchevoi HaShemesh Ato Oichel, at nighttime you will eat it. Umoyed Seischa Mitzrayim Ato Soreif, and at the point that you would leave Mitzrayim, the time that you leave Mitzrayim, you are to burn it. Burn that which was not eaten of the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bo'erev Ato Zoveach, Kevoi HaShemesh Ato Oichel, with sundown, meaning at night you eat, the Ad Mosai Ato Oichel, V'holech, until when can you continue eating, Ad Moed Tzeischa Mitzrayim, until the time that you leave Mitzrayim. Now, the Iker, the main point in this source, is really not visible in the words. So it is pointed out that according to the Tanna Kamma, the eating takes place only till midnight. The Rabbi Yeshua holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that the eating takes place all night. Omar Rabbi Abba. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we call this hemshech, a continuation, with a mivneh, with a structural note. We have written here, Hezber HaMachloikis Ben Rabbi Kiva was a Mosaya, Binyan Sos Man Achilas Pesach. We'll be explaining the point of difference between these two Tanoim regarding the end time for the eating of the Korban Pesach. We'll also be using a dashed underline to highlight the expressions HaKol Modim, that which everyone agrees on, and Alma Nechliku, that which they argue about. We will talk about Mosai Nigalu. Nigalu is a reference to the granting of permission to the Jews to leave Mitzrayim. We will discuss when did they leave, and when is Shas Chipozon of Mitzrayim and of Yisrael. So now our Gemara. Omer Rabbi Abba, Hakol Modim. Everyone will agree. Kishin Nigalu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim lenugilu elo be'erev. They were granted permission by the Mitzrim, by the Egyptians, to leave Egypt. That took place Bo'erev, at that time period called Erev. Shenemar Hotziacho Hashem Elokecho Mimitzrayim Lailo. So Erev, in this particular context, would mean they were expected, they were told to leave Mitzrayim at night. Ukshiyotsu lo yotsu elabayom, and the actual departure took place by day. Shinema mimochros apesach yotsu bnei Yisrael biyad ramah. From the next morning of the Pesach, the morning after they ate the Korban Pesach, they left. So the permission to leave, that everyone agrees with, was at night. the actual leaving, everyone was agrees with, took place by day. Alma nechliku, what's the point of controversy? Al shas chipozon, on the point called chipozon, the pasuk we read before that we have on the inside margin, pasuk yud aleph, mentions v'achaltem oisei b'chipozon pesachu l'Hashem. What is that chipozon? For Rabbi Elazar ben Azara, sofar my chipozon, chipozon de Mitzrayim, literally the haste of Mitzrayim. That's a reference to, as Rashi says, makas b'choros, that took place at midnight, which was the catalyst for the Egyptians demanding Jewish departure, so that the eating of the Korban Pesach takes place until that chipazon, until the Egyptians hastening of the Jews to leave. Rabbi Akiva sofar my chipazon, chipazon the Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva says that the eating time of the Korban Pesach is bounded by the hastening of the Jews in their actual departure, which is by right after dawn. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. The reason the Gemara is bringing this in, it would appear to serve as a support to Rabbi Abba that said Geula was at night and Yitzion, the departure, was by day. The source begins, Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha Mimitzrayim Laila. V'chi b'layla yotzu? Is it so that they left at night? V'alo lo yotzu elo b'yom? Their departure was by day. Shneimar mimochos ha-pesach yotzu b'nei Yisrael b'yad Ramah. From that pasuk, we see the Jews departing. And when was that? That was on the morning after the Korban Pesach. Elo melameid she'ischilo lahem ge'ula mibo'erev. The pasuk that said Hotziah Hashem Elokim Yisrael Laila indicates that the beginning of the Geula was Bo'erev. So this is a support to that which Rabbi Abba said, that the Geula, which was the granting of permission to leave, that took place at night, and the actual leaving, that took place by day. Before going further in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Lekichas Horechush Mimitzrayim. Upon their departure from Mitzrayim, the Jews took a lot of wealth from Mitzrayim with them. And we have a mivneh, a structural note, where a volcano shape or trapezoid form appears, Droshas Al Psukim Shelgulas Mitzrayim. You'll see this shape appears a number of times on Daf Tes Amud Beis. These are psukim that deal with the redemption.
Daber no bi'oznei ha'om. This pasuk appears just before the departure from Mitzrayim. The Jews were requested to seek the wealth of Mitzrayim in order to take it with them upon their departure. Amri debei Rabbanai, ein no elo loshon bakosha. The word no in this pasuk indicates a beseeching. And we have a point that's going to last a few lines of Gemara. You'll notice it continues down the first seven lines of Tes Amud Beis. So this is one point, and this is indicated by our long point marking till that you'll see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the encircled Nun. Omar Le HaKodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. The Almighty addresses Moshe and says, Bevakosha Mimcha, kindly, please, Lech Ve'emor Lohem Yisrael, go and tell the Jews, Bevakosha Mikem, Sha'alu Mimitzrayim Klei Chesef Uklei Zohov, ask request of the Mitzrayim their silver and golden vessels. Shelo Yoimar Oysoi Tzadik at the top of Daf Tes Amud Beis. This Oysoi Tzadik, the righteous one, is a reference to Avraham Avinu. he should not say, Va'avodum vi'inu oisom ki'im bohem, the harsh affliction and oppression of slavery, that was fulfilled, because the Almighty had communicated to Avram that in the future his children would be subjected to slavery, and upon departure they would leave their enslavement with great wealth. So if they don't request the wealth of Mitzrayim, so Avram will then have a claim that you fulfilled the slavery aspect of things, but that part of the bargain you did not fulfill. Therefore, the Almighty is very interested in Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the Jews and telling them to seek the Egyptian wealth before their departure. Omru lo, the Jewish people said, Ulevai shenetze be'atzmenu, it should only be that we should leave our bodies alone. In other words, we should leave with nothing and we would be happy. Moshel li'odom sheyachovush beveisu asurim, an analogy can be made to a person who was incarcerated. The oyu omrim lo b'nei odom, and people were saying to this inmate, Motzien oischo lemochor mibeis osurim, tomorrow you will be set free, v'noisin lochmomun harbe, and they will give you a lot of money. The omer lehem, and the inmate would say back, bevako shemikem, please, hotziuni hayom, let me go free today, v'eini mevakish kluma, I don't want anything. In other words, get me out right now, without all the promises of goodies tomorrow. That's why it was necessary to beseech the Jews to, tarry or to delay in seeking the wealth of Mitzrayim before their departure. The Pasuk says, Vayash Ilum. Omar Rabbi Ami, Melamed Shish Ilum Baal Korcham. The Egyptians gave their in the giving of the Egyptian wealth, something was done against their will. The question right now is whose will was who was forced? Ika the Amri Baal Korcham ben Mitzrayim. Some say against the will of the Egyptians. Ika the Amri Baal Korcham the Israel, against the will of the Jews. Mandomar Baal Korcham de Mitzrayim, he who says that the giving over of the wealth was against the will of the Mitzrayim, Dichtiv Unavas Bayis Techalek Shalol. The word Shalol means booty. In other words, it's a reference to the booty of the inhabitants of the Mitzrayim was taken against their will. Mandom or Baal Korcham de Yisrael. Those who say that the taking of the booty was against the will of the Jews, they didn't want to bother with it, Mishum Masui, because of the burden, the weight of it. They wanted to get out as quickly as possible without the weight. But nevertheless, they were put on the spot, as we learned earlier, to take the wealth, even though it was against their will. Vayenatzlu es Mitzrayim. The Targum, the Aramaic explanation of the pasuk of the word Vayenatzlu, is Verokinun. Verokinun is to clear out, to empty out something. Omar Rabbi Ami, Malameid Shasua Kemitsuda She'en Bodogon. The word vayinatzlu can be compared to a mitzuda, as a trap. A trap generally has bait in it, food in it, to trap the prey. Mitzrayim was cleared out, like making it like an empty trap, having no food left in it, nothing, no bait left in it. V'reish Lakish Amar asua kimetzula she'ein ba dogim. Reish Lakish's analogy is that Mitzrayim was made to be like the depths at the sea where there are no fish. Fish don't live in the deep parts of the sea, rather in the shallow parts where there is food available. So Mitzrayim was cleaned out of its wealth, leaving it empty, just like the depths of the sea are empty of fish. Ekye asher ekye. Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Lech emor lohem liYisrael. The Almighty said to Moshe, go tell the Jews, Ani hoisi mochem b'shibud zeh, I have been with you in this enslavement, the Egyptian slavery, v'ani eheyeh imochem b'shibud malchus, and I will be with you in future exiles and oppressions. So that's the double expression of ekyeh, asher ekyeh, I will be with you as I have been with you. And just to go over the point again, I will be with you in future oppressions as I have been with you till now. Omar Lefonov. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Almighty, why should I say this to the Jews where I'm essentially telling them about future oppression? Ribbono Shel Olam, Dayo Latzora B'Shaita. It is enough for them to suffer oppression when it comes. But now, why should I cause them worry about future oppression? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech emor lohem ekye shelochani alechem. In other words, I am telling you that I will be with them in the future oppressions. However, for what I want you to tell them is simply that the one that has been with you has sent you, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, to redeem you, not informing the Jewish people of future oppression. Aneni Hashem Aneni. This is what Elio Hanovi said when he was confronting the false prophets of the Baal idol on Mount Carmel. He said, he prayed to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aneni, Hashem Aneni, and again you see here a double expression, and this little drusha is something we have seen before on Daf Vov. Omar Rabbi Avo, Lomo Omar Elio Aneni Shnei Pomim. Why did Eliyahu say Aneni twice? Malamed Shomar Elio Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This teaches us that Eliyahu said to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, Aneni shiterid esh min hashamayim v'toichal kol asher al hamizbeach. The incident involving Elio and the false prophets of the idol Baal involved the offering of sacrifices. And they, the false prophets, claimed that their idol could cause a fire to consume their sacrifices. And Elio challenged them and saying that only the Kodesh Baruch Hu will consume his sacrifice. So here is a prayer for the fire to descend from Shemayim to consume his sacrifice. The Aneni, and a second request, Shetasiach Daitom, Kedei Shelo Yomru Maisik Shofim Heim. Cause them to, prevent from entering their hearts a claim that what I am doing through this offering is an act of black magic. Shenemar, and this pasuk shows how the Kodesh Baruch Hu can, we'll say, take over the controls and take over the mindset of people. The pasuk says, Ve'ata hasiboiso es libom achoranis. The word haseboso is to turn, and es libom, to turn their hearts, so that we see the prophet was praying that he should prevent these thoughts of black magic from entering their hearts and thereby dispelling the miraculous element of this sacrificial offering. Before we go further into the Mishnah, there will appear a geometric form, and under our Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin, you can see we feature the crown shape, and we have written Zmanim Shoinim, different times, the Tchilas Zman Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris, for the Kriya Shema of the morning to be recited. So the Mishnah, Meimosai Kurin es Shema B'Shachris, from when do we recite the morning Kriya Shema? Mishiyakir Bein Tcheles L'Lovon, when there is a sufficient level of light to distinguish between Tcheles, a blue color, and white. Reb Elazar Omer Bein Tcheles L'Karsi. This would be a greater light level because he insists on enough light to distinguish between blue and green. Ad Honetzachamo. The ending time for the morning Kriya Shema, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would be with sunrise. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Shois. One has until the third hour of the morning. Shekein derech melochim lamoid b'shalosh shos. It is the way of kings to arise from their night slumber at the third hour of the day. So that if we were to cite the pasuk u'b'shachvecha uvekumecha, so we see uvekumecha, the getting up from sleep, lasts till the third hour of the day. So that would be Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that one has until the third hour of the morning to say the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Hakori mikan ve'elech lo hifsid ke'odom hakori b'Torah. Reading beyond this time would be no less than reading from the Torah. There is a Rashi that's appropriate for this Mishnah that's found on Daf Yud Amud Beis, and there Rashi says, "Hakori mikan ve'elech lo hifsid, sharehu ka'odam shekori achas mikol parshas shebetorah." It is no less than someone reading a section of the Torah. After all, the Kriya Shema is made of paragraphs from the Torah. V'afa pi shelo yotzi yedei Kriya Shema, even though he hasn't fulfilled his Kriyas Shema mitzvah requirement, yesh lo kibul schar koisik b'Torah, he will merit reward as someone who learns Torah. Mai, the Gemara asks, Bein Tcheles Lovon. What is intended by the Mishnah when it says the amount of light to distinguish between blue and white? Ilema, we have two stages of analysis, and we've indicated this with a squiggle underline under Ilema, and the next line, Ela, Aleph, and Beis. So the first stage, Ilema bein Gvova de Amra Chivra, li Gvova de Amra de Tchelta. Gvova is a clump, and Amra is wool. So if we're talking about the amount of light to distinguish between a clump of white wool and a clump of blue dyed wool, Ha b'layla nami meida yadi. That could be established. That distinction could be made even in the middle of the night. And we are trying to define when is the Kriya Shema of the morning to be said. Ela bein tcheles shebo l'lovon shebo. Rashi and Tosfos argue about this. Rashi's pshat of Bein Tcheles Shebo Lovon Shebo, Gizas Tzemer, Rashi says, Shetzava Tcheles, a clump of wool that has been dyed blue, V'yesh Bo Mekoymos Shelo Olo Shom Hatzeva Yofe. There are spots in the wool that the dye hasn't taken hold, and those spots will still be white. So if there's enough light level to distinguish between the wool that was dyed blue and the white spots where the dye didn't take hold, that's the time for the morning Kriya Shema. That's the enough light level indicating it's now time for morning Kriya Shema. This Tanaic source has more times, more opinions regarding time for the beginning of the Kriya Shema of the morning. Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishiyakir Bein Zev LeKelev, where there's enough light to distinguish between a wolf and a dog. Rabbi Kiv Omer Bein Chamor LiOrod, enough light to distinguish between a common donkey and a wild donkey. V'achir Omer Mishira Eschaber B'richuk Arba Amos V'akirenu, enough light where you see your friend at a distance of 4 amos and can identify him, that individual. So there's enough light for the beginning of Kriya Shema. Omar Rav Huna, halacha ke'achirim. Rav Huna rules that the beginning zman of Kriya Shema is Mishiyakir es chaveroi. Berichu dalet amos. Omar Rabaye, litfilin ke'achirim, the beginning time for donning one's tefillin would be like the achirim, l'kriya shma kevasikin. The time for kriya shma is based on the practice of the vasikin. These are people that are humble and show affinity toward mitzvahs. The Omar Rav Yochanan, vasikin hayu gurman oisa im honetzachamo. The vasikin would finish the Kriya Shema together with the rising of the sun. Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Vosikin Oyegomrin Osa Im Honetzachamo. They finish the recitation of Kriya Shema as soon as together with the rising of the sun. Kideshi Yismagulo Litfila Venitsa Mispalo Bayom. This will enable them to fulfill the placing of Geula, which is represented by Kriya Shema, and Tefillah, which is the Shemone Esrei, placed one next to the other, in other words, leading from Geula into Tefillah, and by timing things this way, Nimsa Mispal Bayom, the Shemone Esrei is being recited by day, namely right after the sun, the rising of the sun. Omar Rabbi Zera, my craw, what is the pasuk that indicates that it's a mitzvah to daven to say the Shemone Esrei together with the rising of the sun? The pasuk says, Yerucha im Shemesh, v'fnei Yareach dor dorim. So Yerucha im Shemesh, we will behold you together with the sun, in the indication of davening together with sunrise. Heyed Rabbi Yehuda ben Eliyakim Ishum ki l'kedisha Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Eliyakim said in the name of the holy community of Yerushalayim, kol asaymus gulu l'tfila, eno nizayk kol hayom kulo. He who places or times the gula to be right before the tfila, namely like the Vosikin, as Tosis points out, one who finishes his Kriya Shema at the very moment that the sun begins to rise, and with that he begins his Shemone Esrei, he will merit being protected and not being subject to damage all day. Omer Rabbi Zera, Eini, is that promise really so? Is that really true? V'ho ano samchi v'itziki. I did that. I was semekula the tefillah, like the vosikin, and I suffered damage. Omale v'mai itzikis. What describe your damage? What setback did you have? Answer. The Amtis Asala Bay Malka. On that day, I was requested to bring myrtle branches to the king. So the Gemara says, that's not a setback. Hosam Nami Miboya Loch Lemev Agro Lemersiape Malka. Generally speaking, you would have been expected to actually pay a fee to be able to see the king. And you didn't pay anything. You were requested. You were sent on a mission to bring the myrtle branches to the king, and were able to see the king even without having to pay. Now, why is there this idea of needing to pay to see the king? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Olim Yishtadel Odom Lorutz Likras Malchei Yisrael. A person should strive to greet the kings of Israel. Not only a Jewish monarch, elo afilu likras malchei akum, even to see kings of the Gentiles, of the idol worshippers. Why is it so significant for one to see a king? Shim yizke yafchin bein malchei Yisrael lamalchei akum. If he merits it and gets to olam, the olam haba, a future time, to see the godless, to see the grandeur of Israel, he will appreciate it all the more, having seen the grandeur accorded to common idol worshiper kings, and be able to appreciate the contrast in seeing the level of grandeur that the Jews will experience in the future. The Rashi says, "She'im yizke le'olam haba liros gedulosim shel Yisrael," so that one, by seeing the grandeur accorded to a king in this world, he will help appreciate how much greater the honor and glory will be accorded to the Jews in the future. So that Rabbi Zeru was zoche to see his king, and thereby did, we'll call it, the first step toward the eventual recognition of the glory of the Jews in the future. The Gemara continues, Amale Rabbi Ilo the Ulo. Rabbi Ilo said to Ulo, Ki Ailis Lahasam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Shoyu Bishlomo de Ravuno Achi. Seek out the welfare, in other words, greet my brother Rav Bruna, the Maimed Kol HaChabura, in the presence of all of his friends. The Odom Godol Hu V'Sameach B'Mitzvahs. He, my brother Rabbi Bruna, is a great man and is happy with the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Zimnachada Samach Gilul Tfila. One day he successfully accomplished Smichas Gilul Tfila. V'Leposik Chuka Mipume Kule Yoma, and a smile did not depart from his face all day. Hechi Motzi Samech. Technically speaking, though, how can anyone be Samech Gula L'Tfila? Tfila is the Shemona Esrei, which begins with the words Baruch Atah, and yet we have an opening pasuk that precedes the Shemona Esrei, where we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lasecha. So doesn't that create a block between the end of Kriya Shema and the beginning of the Shemona Esrei? So I'm not somech. Somech means to place one next to the other. There is a block. There is an interruption, if you will. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan betchila hu Omer Hashem sfosai tiftach ulebesof hu Omer you the rotsan imrei fi v'chulei. So at the beginning, before saying the Shemona Esrei, there's this added Hashem Sosai Tiftach posuk. Now, that would appear to be a hefsek between Goal Yisrael, the final bracha of the morning Shemona Esrei, which is redemption, and Tfila, which is Shemona Esrei. And at the end of the Shemona Esrei, this is less relevant to our discussion right this moment, but at the end of Shemona Esrei, we say, Yu L'Rotzon Imrei Fi. The question, though, is asked: how do we in effect accomplish smichas gula tefila with this interruption? You'll notice a triangle with a colored in tip. The nosei mivneh heading that you see in the outside margin reads as follows: Tshuvos. These triangles represent answers. La sheila echef shelikayim smichas gula tefila im omrim lifnei shmona esrei Hashem svasai tiftach. If we say this posuk of Hashem Sosai Tiftach before the Shemona Esrei, so then how do we accomplish the placing of Geula right next to Tfila? Another point that will come under discussion in this Gemara is Mikumo Shel Yulu Rotzayin Imrei Fi Lama Dafka B'Soif Shemona Esrei. This posuk that we add of Yulu Rotzayin Imrei Fi, we place at the end of Shemona Esrei. Why is it placed specifically at the end? The words themselves would be equally appropriate to be said at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei. The expression of Yu L'Rosen, the Imrei Fi, the words of my mouth should be of a beseeching nature. Now that would be appropriate at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei just as well. So now, in response to the question, how are we so mechlul tefila when in fact we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach? So a few answers. Omar Rabbi Lozer, Tehei betfilas shel arvis. The din of Rabbi Yochanan that at the beginning you say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, that is at the beginning of the arvis of the evening Shemona Esrei, and which ostensibly is not a time of smichas gula l'tefila, so that there is no concern that there's an interruption. The Gemara asks, but at night there is a a need for smichas gula tefila v'amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezu ben Alaba, who merits to be have a portion in the world to come. Zehu hasemuch gula l'tefila shel arvis. Someone who places the geula next to the tefila of arvis. So once again, the Hashem svasai tiftach would be an interruption, even if it were done at night. Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar. It was a second version of Rabbi Elazar. Tei betfilas hamincha. Instead of saying arvis, we say that the Hashem svasai tiftach is said only at the Shmona Esrei of Mincha. And at Mincha time, there's no issue of having Geula placed right before Tfila. Rav Ashi Yomar Afilu Teimo Akulu. You can say that the Hashem Sfosai Tifla goes on all of the respective Shmona Esreis that we recite, and there is still no problem of interruption, that it constitutes an interruption. But Kevon de Kavua Rabbonin Betfila, since Hashem Sfosai Tiftach was set up as part of the tefillah of the Shmona Esrei, was attached to the Shmona Esrei, Ketfila Arichta Damya. It is like an elongated tefillah, so that Hashem Sfosai Tiftach becomes a part, an extension of tefillah, hence it is not an interruption. The Ilo Teima Hochi, if you don't accept this approach, Arvis Hechi Motzi Somech, in the evening Shmona Esrei, Kriya Shema Shmona Esrei situation, where do you have Smichas Geula L'Tfila? The Hot Boy L'Meimar Hashkivenu. There's a paragraph that we say, starting with the word Hashkivenu, which is said after the Bracha of Goal Yisrael in the evening. So that between the Goal Yisrael and the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, there's an entire paragraph that would appear to be an interruption. And yet, it's not. Elo kivan detakinu rabbonan hashkivenu, since the rabbonan established hashkivenu as part of the text of the Birchas Shmones of Birchas Kriya Shema, ki geula arichto damyo. It's viewed as an extension of the geula of the redemption passage. Hachinami, so too with regard to the Hashem svasai tiftach kivan the kavur rabbonan betfila, since they established it as part of the Shmona Esrei. Ketfila arichto damya. It's viewed as an extension of tefila, and hence it is not an interruption. At this point, the Gemara focuses on the closing verse that we say in the Shmona Esrei. After the final bracha, there is Yula Rotzon Imreifi is mentioned. So, Michti, Ha Yula Rotzon Imreifi, Mashma Libasov, U Mashma Meikora, Deboino Lemeimar. It would be appropriate to say it as we do at the beginning, as a type of prayer. If this Yula Rotzon appeared at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, it would be a prayer that the words that I'm about to say should be of a beseeching nature, should be of an acceptable nature to you. And it also is appropriate where it is at the end, that namely the words that I have said should be acceptable to you. My taimo tiknuhu rabbonan liachar shmoina esrei brachas leimu meikora. So why has Yula Rotzon been established following the 18 brachas of the Shmona Esrei? Why not have it recited at the beginning, at the outset? Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Shimon ben Pazi hoyo v'lo amro David elo liachar shmoina esrei parshis. Since the expression Yula Rotzon Refi appears in the Tehillim after 18 chapters, 18 prokim, Lefikach Takinu Rabbona Leachar Shmoina Esrei Brachas. So, in honor of its position in the Tehillim, after, which we said was after 18 paragraphs, it appears in the Shmoina Esrei after 18 brachas. The Gemara asks, regarding the Tehillim and the appearance of Yula Rotzon, Hani Yudches Havyon. You say it's after 18 paragraphs? No, it's at the end of the 19th paragraph or chapter of the Tehillim. So the Gemara answers,
the idea of 18 chapters of Tehillim is figured as follows. Asher Ish Veloma Rok Shugoyim, they are classified as Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 of Tehillim really Chado Parsho Hi. And before we go any further than more, we should note that we are embarking on a long answer, and this we have a long answer marking a tuffet encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see this vertical dashed line continues till the fourth line from the top of Yud Amid Aleph. So this is all one long answer. The Yul Rotzon appears at the end of chapter 19, which really is really the 18th chapter. Now, how do you figure that? So the Gemara tells us that Ashrei Ish, that means first it's Perek Aleph, Veloma Rok Shugoyim, Perek Beis, Chada Parsho Hi. It's really one chapter. The Yomar of Yudah Breger of Shimon Pazi. Kuf Gimel, it's 103, Parshis Omar David, Velo Omar Haleluka, Ad Shiro B'Mapavosu Shor Roshoyim. He didn't use the word Haleluka until he perceived the downfall of the wicked. Shenemar Yitamu Chatoim Min Oretz Roshoyim Od Einom Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem Haleluka. Regarding this, the Gemara asks, Hani Kuf Gimel, this is 103. Kuf Dalid Havyon, the pasuk of Yitamu Chatan Tamin Oretz Shem Oydinom Boruch Hashem Shem Haluka, that really is after it appears after of 104 paragraphs. So why does Rabbi Yehuda Bereg of Shimon Pazi say it appears after 300 paragraphs or chapters? Elashmamino, the seeming discrepancy is resolved very simply that Ashra Ish Velamok Shugoyim Chado Parshahi. When Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shimon Pazi said after 103 paragraphs Haleluka appears, that's because he understood that Ashra Ish paragraph chapter 1 and Lomarok Shugoyim, which is chapter 2 of Tehillim, are one considered one unit, one chapter. The Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yoichanan, call Parsha, we're at the top of Daf Yud Omer Aleph, call Parsha Shetzachaviva al David, any chapter that David HaMelech was specifically fond of in the book of Tehillim, Posach Bo Be'ashrei, V'siyem Bo Be'ashrei. It would open up with the word Ashrei and close with an expression of Ashrei. Posach Be'ashrei, we see that a paragraph or a chapter that opens with Ashrei Dichtiv, Ashrei Ho'ish, which is the first chapter of Tehillim, the Siyem Ba'ashrei, Dichtiv Ashrei Kol Choisei Boi. And now this is found at the end of the second chapter of Tehillim. But yet, the Gemara just said that a parsha that David HaMelech was very fond of, that one chapter would open and close with Ashrei. So here you have chapter 1 opening with Ashrei, chapter 2 closing with Ashrei, showing us in effect that chapter 1 and chapter 2 are really one parsha. And that, with that, we are able to resolve the seeming discrepancies in numbers that we mentioned till now. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. Turning to Daf Tes, the last Tosfos on the Daf, Tesomet Aleph, Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria Olimer, Ne'emar Kan Balaylo Hazeh V'chule. We should point out that the previous Tosfosim were learned in our previous shiur on Daf Ches, but today's shiur started with this Tosfos, where Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria said that Achilas Pesach takes place, lasts until midnight, and he learned it through a Gezeirah Shavah. However,
Tosfos asks, "V'im toimar hechi motzi l'meimar Reb Elozer ben Azariah al chatzos? How can he say that the zman achilas Pesach is until midnight? V'oksiv, there is a posuk that says lo susiru mimenu ad boker. Do not leave over the Pesach until the morning. D'mashma, this implies ad boker miha motzi lochlo, that until the morning one is allowed to eat it. Simply at the, by morning it becomes nosar, but up till that point it would be okay. V'yesh loimar. The motzi lemeimar, Reb Elozer ben Azariah could explain that posuk as follows. The hochi komar. Loi sasu dovor shiyovo lidei noisar ad haboker. Don't do anything that will cause the meat of the Pesach to become nosar in the morning. Shiim lo yehei nechal ad chatzos. If you don't eat it by chatzos, by midnight, as I say, lo tuchal leochlo velo lesorfo balayla, you won't be able to continue eating it, nor will you be able to burn it at night. Kideko amrinon, as we say, beyoyim atosorfo vi atosorfo balayla, only by day can it be burned, not by night. The im kain yishoer ana boker, and if so, then it will have to stay over. It will have to be left over till the morning. So, just to review, Reb Elozer ben Azariah, in looking at the posuk of lo sosiru mimena ad boker, does not see in this posuk that you would be allowed to eat through the night till the morning, but rather it is an instruction, don't do anything that will cause the meat to become nosar by the morning, but rather finish it by chatzos. Because if you don't finish it by chatzos, from chatzos onwards through the night, you won't be able to eat it, nor will you be able to burn it. Because the burning takes place only by day. And parenthetically, the burning of the Korban Pesach that is left over won't be that very first morning, but rather the morning of the 16th of Nisan. We continue on Omid Beis. The Tosfos here deals with the issue of the beginning time of Kriya Shema. The Mishnah had mentioned Bein Tcheles Lelovon. The Gemara clarified what does that mean. If it means two clumps of wool, that would be distinguishable even in the middle of the night. But we're trying to figure out the beginning time of the morning Kriya Shema. Therefore, the Gemara spoke about Bein Tcheles Lelovon Shebo. So Tosfos says, "Elo bein tcheles shebo lelovon shebo." The word shebo means in it. That is a pronoun. In it, what? Pirush Rashi, tsemer hatzavua tcheles, a clump of wool that has been dyed tcheles color, bluish color. V'yesh mekoymish shelo olo sham hatzeva shapir. But some parts of this wool, the dye hasn't taken hold well. And regarding that, Rashi says, if there's enough light to distinguish between the sections of the wool that the dye has taken hold and those that it remains the original white color, then you have enough light for the beginning of Kriya Shema. V'koshe, d'amrinon b'menochus. In Masechet Menochus, the Gemara talks about tzitzis, and it says, re'ei mitzvah zu, shebo tolui mitzvah acheres. Note this mitzvah, look upon this mitzvah, that's a reference to tzitzis, dependent upon whom is another mitzvah, ve'ei zo, and what is that? Zu kriyashma. The other mitzvah is kriyashma. Kidisnan, achyakir bein tcheles lelovon. As the Mishnah says, when there is enough light to distinguish between Tcheles and Lavan. V'ikoi agizas tzemer, if the Mishnah that says Atshiyakir ben Tcheles Lavan is referring to a random clump of dyed wool, eino tluyo betzitzis, that is not dependent on tzitzis, that's not, it's not related to tzitzis, the ode, Balailonami Pomim Yehoyim Lirois Semer She'eno Tzavua Kadarko. Even at night, one can distinguish pieces of wool that haven't been dyed thoroughly or properly. Al Kain Yesh Lefarish, therefore, we should explain, Bein Tcheles Sheba is a reference to the expression Bein Tcheles Sheba that we saw in the Gemara, is a reference to Betzitzis, regarding the Tcheles of Betzitzis, Shoya Kavua Bo Tcheles, Vegam Shnei Chutim Lavan. The tzitzis, which are made up of four strings that are inserted into the corner holes of a four-cornered garment, there are four strings, two of which are blue and two of which are white. Then they are folded over and knotted. And after they're knotted, there is a coiling, a wrapping around of one of the strings around all of the others, and then subsequent knots are made. So Tosfos explains, we say Vegam Shnei Chutin Lovon Ve'oisen Bo Chulya Shel Tcheles VeChulya Shel Lovon. There are in the wrappings around of the tzitzis strings, there is a Chulya is a group of wraparounds of coilings, so that at times some of the coilings are done with white, with the white string, and some of the coilings are done with the blue string, so that you have to have enough light to be able to see which coiling is done with the blue and which coiling is done with the white. And that's what Bein Tcheles Sheba, the Lavan Sheba, means between the blue and the white in the tzitzis themselves. Achirim omrim ad shiyira chaveroi v'chulei. The Achirim opinion of light level is enough light to distinguish for a person to be able to identify a friend of his at a distance of four amos. B'Yushalmi b'ma anan kaimin. In the Yushalmi, the Gemara analyzes this particular opinion and says, well, what are we talking about? E beragil, if it's a person that you're very familiar with, accustomed to, well, afilu berachok tvei chokim bay, even at a greater distance, you will be able to identify him. He's a close friend of yours. You don't have to be within four amos to identify him. V b'sheino rogil, if it's someone that you're not that familiar with, afilu b'korov ligabe lo chochim le, even if he's close by you, you won't be able to identify him. Tiftar, so therefore explain this Mishnah, b'rogil v'eino rogil, someone that you are somewhat familiar with, k'odein achsanya de'osi l'kitzin, like a visitor to an inn that comes on a at times, a person who is hosts visitors or travelers, and a particular travel comes around from time to time, so he's someone that you're somewhat familiar with. And that's the type of person that we're saying that at four amos, if there's enough light, if you can recognize such a person, so then there is enough light to start the Kriya Shema. V'tzorch lomar d'hai achirim, you have to say that this opinion of Achirim is Lav Rabbi Meir Ninu, even though in the Shas, Achirim, when you see Achirim, it's generally speaking a reference to Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara in Maseches Horius tells us. Here, though, it is not Rabbi Meir. Deha Rabbi Meir, Airi Li'el Minayu. Rabbi Meir appears before the Achirim. In our Tanaic source, we had the Achirim, but preceding him happened to be Rabbi Meir at the beginning of the source. So that it's obvious then that Rabbi Meir is not the Achirim in this case. L'kriya shma kivosikin. The Gemara, upon ruling what is the significance of these different beginning times, so the Gemara mentioned that Abaye mentioned that the Shita Sachirim is a time at which one can start putting on his tefillin, and the timing for Kriya Shema is based on the practice of the Vosikin. Those are, and that is, the completion of the Kriya Shema together with the rising of the sun. The Kriya Shema kivosikin, Tosfos says Tema. There is a question. Deli'el paskinon keman dematir la'achar amud hashachar miyad. Earlier, we had ruled that one is to recite the Kriya Shema immediately, or one can recite the Kriya Shema immediately following dawn. Ulekamon paskinon halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua diamar ad shalosh shos. And regarding the end time of Kriya Shema, the Gemara rules later on, like Rabbi Yeshua, that says you can go until the third hour of the day. So we have rulings regarding beginning time after, right after dawn, end time at 3 hours. V'ocha posik Abaye Shubasra, here Abaye rules, and he is a later authority. V'omar kivosikin umashma dehochi hilchasa. Abaye rules that Kriya Shema is like vosikin, which basically is begin and end right before sunrise, which is different than those other times. Umashma dehochi hilchasan. It sounds like that is the way to go. So we have a problem regarding final ruling. Earlier, it seems that at the beginning of Tosfos, he points out that there's a immediately after dawn, lasting till third hour of the day, and here the Kriya Shema recitation is to be done right before sunrise. The Yesh Lomar, Devadai Zman Kriya Shema Maschil Li'achar Amud HaShachar. It is clear, it is certainly the case that the beginning time of Kriya Shema will start after dawn. Uzmano Ad Shalosh Shos, and it lasts until the third hour of the day. Umiu Mitzvah Mena Muvchor Kivosikin. However, the best way, the choicest way to fulfill Kriya Shema is to do it like the Vosikin, right next to or right before sunrise. Kidei lismoku tfila, thereby accomplishing the connection between Geulah, the redemption, as is represented by the Kriya Shema, and tfila, which is the Shemoneh Esrei. Vafilu vosikin nami modu le Rabbi Yeshua. Even the vosikin will concede to Rabbi Yeshua, Shim lo kora koidem aneitzachamo, if you did not recite the Kriya Shema right before sunrise, the yachol likrois ad shaloshos, that one could read until the third hour of the day. The alze onu samchin, and on this we rely. We rely on this in our own practice. V'chein b'perek misha meisoi, likewise in the third perek of this masechta, de ka'omar, there it says, balkeri shiyorad litboil, a person who was ritually impure as a result of an emission that descended into the mikveh. Im, and we're talking about an immersion at the very early early morning hours. Im yochol la'alois v'likruis koinem honetz, if he could go into the mikveh and get out of the mikveh before the netz, then he should do thusly, and thereby end up reciting the Kriya Shema ending with sunrise. And if not, so the Mishnah there says he should cover himself in the water and recite the Kriya Shema right there. Umasik bar Gemara. And the Gemara has a conclusion. After the Gemara there had raised the possibility that you have a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed Mishnah, that it goes like Rebbe Eliezer, that said that the end time of Kriya Shema is with the Neitz HaChama, meaning the final time is Neitz HaChama, the Gemara there concludes, not necessarily so. Dilma k'Rebbe Yoshua u k'Vosikin. Maybe the Mishnah there is would accept Rabbi Yoshua that says until the third hour of the day. However, the idea of saying the Kriya Shema with sunrise, that's ukivosikin. Klomar, masnisa dekotoni kodem hanetzachamo kivosikin. The Mishnah there that says that if he can go in and get out of the mikveh and recite the Kriya Shema before sunrise, that is like the vosikin. However, in the Gemara itself conceded that nevertheless that same Mishnah would acknowledge saying Kriya Shema up till the third hour. Alma vosikin nami modu l'Rabbi Yoshua she'ein shah overes ad shaloshos. The vosikin themselves will admit to Rabbi Yoshua that you haven't, shah veris means that you passed the time for Kriya Shema recitation, that the time doesn't pass until the third hour of the day. Umiu koshe, the amrinan biyuma, a problem is raised here, that in Maseches Yuma, it says, afhi osto nivreshi shozov, Hilni HaMalka made a golden type of ornamentation that reflected sunlight. Kevon, and it was suspended in the Beis HaMikdash. Kevon Shehachamo Zorachas, once the sun shines, indicating sunrise, Hoyu Nitzotzis Yotzis Himeno, there would be a type of rays of light cast from it. Reflected from it, the hoyu yoidin shigia honeitz hachamo ubozman kriya shma shel shacharis. People would then know that the neitz hachamo has arrived, sunrise has taken place, and now is the time for kriya shma of the morning. Umuki lo hasa b'shar amod Yerushalayim, and that reflection device was needed for the general Yerushalayim population, as opposed to the Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Alma Mashma, from there it would appear to Iker Zman Kriya Shema L'Achar HaNeitzachamo V'ho Lo Havi Kivosikin Shoyu Korin Koidem L'Honeitz Somach L'Honeitz. And that's not like the Vosikin who read and finished the Kriya Shema right before the actual sunrise. So this presents once again a problem. The Maseches Yuma source seems to say that Kriya Shema starts with the sunrise, not like the Vosikin would say that Kriya Shema would be completed right before sunrise. The Yesh Loimar, the Oisei Zman Hupa Latzibur, the Maseches Yuma source is a time fixed for the general public, because most people weren't capable of timing it so that they would finish the Kriya Shema and if needed say it rapidly so as to conclude it together with the sunrise. The majority of people cannot calculate that moment. In other words, you're dealing with a sky in which the sun hasn't yet appeared, so that you have to have in the absence of an accurate clock, you have to be highly skilled in order to time things so that the Kriya Shema ends together with the sunrise. Therefore, for the general public, a clearer time was established, and that is upon sunrise, and that can easily be seen either by noticing the sun itself rising above the horizon, or, as was the case in Yuma, they had this reflecting device which cast rays upon sunrise. The next Tosfos is called Semechul Tfilo Eino Nizok. Translated, it would mean anyone who positions the Shmon Esrei right after the Kriya Shema is saved from injury. The Imtomar Velo Kol HaOlam Samchen Gulo L'Tfila U'may Rabusei D'Rav Bruna D'Lo Posik Chuka Mipumei. Everyone is somek ulatfila, meaning the natural or the standard text of the siddur of the davening has kriyashma followed by tefillah. So what's the significance or the emphasis placed on Rav Bruno in our Gemara that he was so megulat tefillah and he didn't stop smiling all day? What's so special about what he did that everyone else doesn't do? Yesh lomar, tahochi komar. Thusly, you are to understand the Gemara. Kol ha'sei megulat tefillah kivasikin. Shekarin kriyashma kedim haneitz utfilah liachar haneitz. That is special, and as we said before, Tosfos just before indicated it's not something that just anyone can calculate. Therefore, if you are successful in calculating, that is special, and that's what Rav Bruna was able to do. We continue to the Tosfos on Daf Yud Omid Aleph because it touches upon the Gemara at the very top of Daf Yud, which was part of today's Shiur. Kol parsha shoyse chaviva al David, the Gemara said that a chapter that David HaMelech found to be particularly that he found he was particularly fond of, he began with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei. Ve'im toimar my kol haparshios. In our Gemara text, the first two words on the page was kol parsha. Every chapter that he was fond of begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. V'halo ashkon shum parsha acheres shemascheles ba'ashrei mesemes ba'ashrei Elohi. We don't find any chapter in Tehillim whatsoever that begins and ends with Ashrei other than that, which was the first chapter. So what is meant by the expression every chapter, indicating multiple chapters that David was fond of, he would begin and end with Ashrei, when in fact there is only one chapter like that? The Yesh Loimar. The Lav Daf, the Posach, Ba'ashrei, V'sim Ba'ashrei. When the Gemara was describing chapters that David HaMelech is fond of, it would open up with Ashrei. It was not specifically those words, Ashrei. However, Elo Chasimo Me'ein psicha. Rather, chapters he was particularly fond of, the closing pasuk would be similar to the opening pasuk. Kamo Tehillah, chapter 145 of Tehillim, Kuf Mem Hei. We call it, we say it every day. It has Tehillah the David, which is the beginning, the actual beginning of that chapter, and it ends. That's she. Sheposach betila v'siem betila tilas Hashem yedaber pi. V'chein harbe parshas shemaschilus b'haluluka u'mesaymos b'haluluka. There are many other chapters that begin with the word haluluka and end with the word haluluka. That is a sign that if you're dealing with a chapter that David HaMelech was particularly fond of, and the Gemara's citation of the word Ashrei was just an example, but the principle being the closing of that particular paragraph is similar to the opening, and that shows that it was a parsha that was chaviv, that David was fond of. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.